Good evening. Did you know that noses like to be popular too? Like to fit in? I usually don't bring up the subject of noses. I'm a little self-conscious, you know. But I was sitting here and listening to all this sniffling, and my nose started dripping too. Maybe unrelated. We've been talking this week about health. So I thought it'd be good to just say a few words about the sniffles. Do we need better health? Even here at Washita Hills, do we need better health? I don't know about you, but I need better health. I want to have the best health I possibly can. And so I hope you've been paying attention, been listening to the worships and chapels and prayer meeting and so forth this week. I'm sorry, I haven't been able to hear very many of them, but I'm thankful for that which I did hear. You know, I was coming home this week. Well, first of all, I'll just mention, I'm amazed with what technology can do for us. It's a blessing, isn't it? And when I was in Sweden earlier this week, I was able to just type a few characters on my keyboard, and up would pop Mr. Neal in life and teachings class. And I could see if y'all were studying or not. So can your parents. So it's a wonderful thing to be able to connect the world and those who might be watching, whoever that is. I was thinking earlier about when we first started Washita Hills, and I remember, well, Mrs. Neal would remember some of the early days. When we came to Vespers, where did we go? Any ideas? Where I live now was the church. Where Mr. Alistair's room is was part of the sanctuary. The wall there was torn out as our church grew. And the living room and dining room and kitchen and master bedroom were all part of the sanctuary. We've come a long ways. And I'm very grateful for that. On my way back, I realized I wouldn't make it home for prayer meeting, so I stopped and found a Wi-Fi signal, and I watched Pastor Arthur talking about health. I'm so thankful that we have a health message. Tonight, I was actually not planning to have the cameras or streaming. The college is all gone. But I was reminded that there may be people wanting to watch, and we've said we're going to have it, so we're going to have it. So I want to thank those of you who volunteered. Some of you are on the cameras for the first time. And I'm sure that the blessing that we gain is not because of our expertise or because of our technology. It's because of what God can do for us, right? So let's just have an additional word of prayer. Father in heaven, we confess our need for you tonight. We're going to take a few moments now to look at your word, to consider your will, especially as it affects our health. And Lord, I don't know why you've placed the burden on my heart that you have, but I trust that besides myself, others will be blessed. As your spirit brings home these thoughts, help us not only be hearers, but doers of the word. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to the book of 3 John. It's almost an overstatement to call it a book because it's only a chapter, and a chapter shouldn't be called a book, right? But it is a book because it's all by itself, a letter John wrote to his friend Gaius. Now, John says this in his first introduction, verse 2, in fact, right there at the beginning of the book. He says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest," what? "Prosper and be in," what? "Health, even as thy soul prospereth." Now, when I've read this, I've often thought, you know, that's nice. John, and by extension, we believe God, because John was a prophet of God, wants us to prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. In other words, if God wants our soul to be prosperous, he must also want our body to be prosperous, right? God wants both. And it's true. God does want both our body and our soul to prosper and be in health. But what I want to just think about tonight for a few moments is the fact that there's a relationship between our body prospering and our soul prospering. And I wonder sometimes now when I read this verse, I wonder if perhaps John isn't actually saying, I want there to be a joint, balanced prospering of both your body and of your soul. I believe there's a clear relationship between the body and the mind. So in our last thought about this week, at least on health, or maybe tomorrow morning you'll have another one in worship. Tonight anyway, I want to talk with you about what I think is the most important health law. How many of you are familiar with the acronym New START? Thanks to Dr. Peters and perhaps others, the early days of Weimar, we have a very well-known acronym for the laws of health. Nutrition, exercise, water, temperance, etc. What does the last T stand for? Trust in God. I believe this is, in fact, the most important of all the health laws. It's overlooked by many. There are many who say, I want to have health. I want to learn these 8 laws of health so that I can be healthier as long as you don't get religion involved. In fact, many of our wellness centers or lifestyle centers have brought people to them who want to get healthy, and they don't really want to have anything to do with God, you understand? They just want to be healthy. And in fact, if you were to abide by good principles in the first 7 laws of health, you will be healthier. But to be the healthiest, you need all 8. John says, I wish above all things you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. There is a direct relationship between the body and the mind. I want to share with you just a couple statements from the Spirit of Prophecy tonight. This is one of those statements that is just puzzling to me, but I believe it. It says in Mind, Character, and Personality, page 59, sickness of the mind prevails everywhere. 9/10 of the diseases from which men suffer have their foundation here, in the sickness of the mind. 9/10. Do you realize that that means 90% or 9 out of 10 or 90 out of 100 of the times we get sick, where does it start? Now, when I read when you read the word disease, you may tend to think of that's like cancer. Or that's like, you know, some terrible terminal illness. Not necessarily. In the older English, used 100 and some years ago, when Ellen White wrote the word disease, she's talking about sickness, okay? So that, what she's saying is 90% of the time we get sick, it's something that started in the mind. At first blush, that seems a little bit extreme. Until you start to understand the relationship between the mind and the body. The mind and the body can't be separated. You can't say, oh, I'm going to have a healthy mind and not end up having a healthy body, because a healthy mind makes good decisions that are good for the body. You can't have a healthy mind without first having a healthy body, because your mind feeds on the food your body produces. How many of you got up this morning and said, you know what? I'm going to feed my brain well today. What do we usually think about feeding? Our stomach, right? We're hungry. Our mouth is watering, especially for mom's cooking. And so we tend to think, oh, my stomach needs the food. Does your stomach need food? No. What is the point of life if all it is to be a stomach? Why is your stomach here? Why didn't God just, yes, it's convenient, gravity and all that below your mouth. I know, and I wasn't asking why your stomach is in your body where it is. I was asking, why do you think we have stomachs? Why do we need stomachs anyway? To digest food so that we can have energy, so that we can, why do we need energy? To work, to live, to have brain food. The whole point of our existence isn't to feed our stomachs, it's to feed our brain, right? Without your brain, you can't do anything else. I haven't proved that, but I'm pretty sure about it. You need to feed your brain. Your body and your brain are intimately connected. What you feed here ends up here. The nutrition, the oxygen that you breathe, all of it is for the purpose of going for the most important organ, and that's our brain. As human beings, we are distinguished from the rest of God's creation by our brains. Animals have stomachs. Animals have muscles. But God gave us brains capable of making decisions and having a relationship with Him. Therefore, our greatest privilege is to feed our brains in such a way that we'll honor Him. Now, if 9/10 of the diseases begin in the mind, then I'm going to ask, what is it that could start diseases in the body? What is it that could be going on in the brain that would cause diseases in the body? Any questions, any ideas?
Stress,
we'll come back to that. Any other ideas? Wrong thought patterns, okay? Like what?
Things you kind of like envy or
okay.
Bitterness.
Envy, bitterness. Sometimes a fixation on one thing. Just like we wouldn't eat only cucumbers for days and days on end. If your mind feeds thoughts the same thing, could be a wrong thought pattern. Other ideas?
Lack of sleep.
Okay. What else would cause the mind to go in the wrong way, which would then cause the body to have sickness? Junk food. Okay. The nutrition that you put in your mind. Now, follow me. What you eat affects your mind, which then affects your health. Right? Do you understand? There's like a loop affecting the mind, affecting the body, affecting the mind, affecting the body, right? And if you're not careful, that loop can be a downwards loop. We call it a spiral sometimes, right? What affects the mind affects the body. What affects the body affects the mind. What affects the mind affects the body. And pretty soon we're not making rational decisions and our health is broken. I want us to just focus on three things tonight because we don't have much time. I've already taken a lot of it, most of it. So I want us to focus on three things that I believe could affect wrong thinking and in turn affect the body so that we would become sick more than we ought to. Those three reasons why I believe we could have poor thought thinking, disease beginning in the mind, we'll look at are the first I've simply categorized as breaking the other seven laws. Breaking the other seven laws. Now, if I want to have a healthy mind so that I can have a healthy body, I need to do things like sleep, I heard someone mention, right? If I'm not sleeping very much, which usually we consider sleep is so that my body won't get sick, right? Isn't that why we need sleep? If I'm not sleeping right, if I'm not sleeping enough, I don't know about you, but I sometimes don't find myself in the best mood. You ever notice the connection? Another way your body is connected with your mind. If you don't sleep enough, you won't be in a good mood. You'll be grouchy. And grouchiness leads to a suppression of the immune system and even to the body getting sick. If I overeat, what's going to happen? If I overeat, the blood rushes to my stomach and tries to digest, and it messes up my sleep, and my mind is altered. You understand what I'm saying? If I don't get enough exercise, my brain won't be properly oxygenated, and I won't be able to make good decisions. If I don't drink enough water, my brain is, 70% water or something like that? Dehydration of just a small amount has a massive effect on cognitive ability. Do you realize that? If you want to get good grades, you need to drink enough water. Like, a small dehydration leads to, 10 or 15% drop in IQ. If I don't drink enough water, my brain doesn't function properly. And when my brain doesn't function properly, I may be more prone to have the wrong thought patterns and get sick. What I'm trying to show you is that your brain, your mind, and your body are interconnected. It's impossible for you to say, God, I want to be healthy and I want to be strong and I want to have a good immune system. I never want to get sick, but I don't want to have anything to do with the spiritual side of things. It's not possible. Because your brain, your soul, and your body are intimately connected. So the first way to have a healthy mind is to obey the other seven health laws. To have a healthy mind, obey the other health laws. The second reason I think we sometimes have sick minds was also mentioned, and it's probably a primary one, and that is stress. Have any of you ever felt stressed? Let me just see your hands. Do any of you suffer from what you might consider stress on a regular basis? Okay, some of you. Some of you are stressed that I asked you to raise your hand. Others of you are not participating anyway because you don't realize you're stressed or you don't want to admit it. We all probably experience some sort of stress. How many times do we tend to think that our stress is greater than other people's stress? Do you ever notice you think that? I think probably everyone here has at some point or another thought, my stress is greater than that person's stress, or than most people's stress, or than average person's stress. We tend to think that way. I don't know why. It's just the way our human minds work. The fact is, I don't know how to say this philosophically, theoretically correct, but I have a theory that there's really no such thing as stress. I hate to break it to you, but there's really no such thing as stress. Stress, what is it? Can you define what it is? Oh. A state of mind. Okay. Fear. Anxiety. Okay. Overwhelmment. Make that a new word. Yes. Okay, expect more of yourself than you're able to do. It's interesting listening to these definitions because you sort of get an insight into personalities and see what stresses people, you know? You have the type A's and the phlegmatics and, yeah. The point is not that I understand the experience of stress, okay? But what I'm trying to say is that stress is something that is really quite detached from what you have to do and what you're not accomplishing. And the pressures that are on you. Stress is a state of mind. It is a condition of the mind. I remember I had a person when I was in school, I had a friend who was stressed. They had taken up everything they thought they had to do in a week, and they had added it all up, and I think it ended up being more hours than they had, you know, more than the 168 hours in a week, and so they were stressed about it. And I remember frequently, when I talked to this young man, his conversation was about his stress. He even began to have migraine headaches And it was because of the stress. And I remember thinking at times, you know, if he just spent the time he spends talking about stress doing something about it, he'd probably be less stressed. I've watched it, and he was just a student. You know what I mean? Since that, I've watched people that have much greater demands upon their resources than I do. I mean, their time, the decisions they have to make, the risks they have to take, the pressures, the complaints, the worries, everything added up is much greater than anything I've faced, and yet I watch them, and they don't seem stressed at all. And it doesn't make sense, because in our egocentric minds, we tend to think, I'm stressed because I have so much to do. I have so much pressure. I have people that don't understand me or saying the wrong things to me, or I have this. You understand what I'm saying? In our minds, we think that our stress is directly proportional to the problems or trials or troubles, but it's not. Stress is what you allow it to be. You can have very small responsibilities and be very stressed. You can have very big responsibilities and have little stress. It's what you make of it. And as we go on tonight, talking about trust in divine power, I want you to understand, young people, that trust in divine power, that eighth health law that we're talking about tonight, is probably the single most important remedy for stress. Let me just give you a theoretical scenario, okay? Suppose I feel as though there's more homework required of me than I am going to be able to accomplish. Ever felt that way? Amen. Trust in divine power says this. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. So already you have someone who cares about it, right? That helps to relieve stress to begin with. The Bible also says something like this. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Oh, the Sabbath is wonderful, isn't it? But the invitation of John 14 is not just for the Sabbath. When you feel stressed, you can come to him and he can give you rest. Do you realize that? Any time during the week. In fact, when you are troubled or weary and heavy laden, that is the time the invitation is specifically directed to you. It's not on Friday night after you've cleaned your room and everything's ready and now I can go to Jesus. No. When you are weary and heavy laden, that is when he invites you to come to him. The Bible also says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right? And all these things will be added unto you. Practical advice. Promise, right? Trust in divine power says, God understands how I feel. God promises to give me rest. And he promises that if I put my priorities right, he's going to take care of the rest. All these things shall be added unto you. Well, you might say, can God really help my grades if after I've given everything to him, I've talked to him and everything else, can God really help my grades if I've had my devotions before I did my homework and that quiz comes anyway and I fail that quiz? Is God failing you? Let me ask you a question. What are the purpose of grades besides making your parents happy? Making yourself happy? What are the purpose of grades? What is the purpose of your education?
Knowledge.
Knowledge, okay. Why is a high school education important? Okay, you got 4 years high school here. What do you want when you finish? A diploma so that you can go to college, right? Does that make sense? And some people have said, well, I'm not sure if I don't get a good enough grade, if I'm going to be able to go to the college that I want to go to. Have you ever heard something like that? Guess what? Does God care what college you go to? I think so. Does God have a purpose and a plan and a will for your life? He does. And I guarantee you one thing, my friend. If you cast your cares upon him, if you rest in his promises and in his peace, if you prioritize as he's asked you to prioritize, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I guarantee you he will also be able to get you into the college he wants you at. And if he doesn't want you at that college, you ought not to be there. Don't worry about it. I'm not saying cast your grades out the window and say, I don't care if I get an A or an F. What I'm saying is, no, there's no reason to stress about it. Who controls your future, you or God? Who do you want to control your future, you or God?
God.
I don't want to be somewhere down the road that I'm not supposed to be. And the way I'm going to get to where I'm supposed to be is by doing what I'm supposed to now, right? So if I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be concerned about doing your best or doing well or getting good grades. What I'm saying is, if you will prioritize your time as best as you can, putting first God's word and time with God, I guarantee you, down the road, God is able to take care of the consequences. And if he wants you to go to Harvard on a full scholarship, he can do it. Stress. Let me share with you one of my favorite verses, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. The Bible says, be careful, or some translations would render it, be anxious. We might, in the common vernacular, say, be stressed about nothing. Or don't be stressed about anything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, how many things? That's everything except. Don't you love those phrases like everything except? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and what?
Supplication
with what? Thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. So if you're tempted to be anxious or stressed, there's a recipe right here in Philippians chapter 4. Don't be anxious about anything, Paul says, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Very simple. If you want to have less stress about the things that are bothering you, because whether you're a peon or the Pope, you have things bothering you, right? If you want to have less stress about those things, tell God about them. Right? Isn't that what the verse says? In everything. Does God already know? Does God know what you said to your roommate or your roommate said to you? Or does God know what has hurt you or what you've done that's wrong? Does God already know those things? Are you at any risk of God saying, oh my, you can't be serious. That's how you feel? Is God going to do that? Why not? God already knows, so you're not telling God anything he doesn't already know. You might as well be open and honest and just tell him about it. The first thing to do if you're stressed or anxious or feeling concerned about something, tell God about it. Amen? Don't keep it to yourself. Tell God about it. Everything. In prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. What does that mean? With an attitude of gratitude. It means to have a thankful heart, a thankful spirit. Tell God everything with a thankful spirit. You won't surprise him. You won't offend him. Tell him. Get it out into the light. Now, I have to wonder, Why is it that much of our stressors we do not pray about? And I have to candidly say that in too many cases, the reason I fail to pray about stressors, it's because they are things that I am not wanting God to change in my heart or life. And if there's something in your heart or life that you do not want to give to God, there is a high probability you will not pray about it. Is that right? And having not prayed about it, you are left to grapple with your challenges on your own. If we're going to trust in God, my friends, if we want the health benefits of all eight laws, we're going to have to come face to face with the reality that we can't be holding a corner of our heart that is reserved for us alone and God has no business touching. We must be willing to say, God, I'm going to trust you completely. And I'm willing to talk about the things that are stressing me with you because I have made a decision that if you impress me to change, I'm going to change. Amen? As long as we are holding on to something that we are not willing to change, God is going to be unable to help us deal with those stresses. Tell God about it. The next verse gives us what the result will be. Verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." What a promise. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Why? How? If in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving we make our requests known unto God. Tell God about everything. You'll have a peace in your heart. Having given everything to God, you'll have a peace in your heart that we cannot describe in human terms. It passes all understanding. The third reason I believe our mind is often the cause of stress, and it leads to wrong thinking, is simply sin. It's what? Let me read to you a little more from Mind, Character, and Personality. 9/10 of the diseases from which men suffer have their foundation here. That's sickness of the mind. Perhaps some living home trouble is like a canker eating to the very soul and weakening the life forces. Remorse for sin sometimes undermines the constitution and unbalances the mind. Sin and guilt. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57. And verses 20 and 21. Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21. It says, but the wicked, who are the wicked? Sinners? Anyone? It's anyone without Jesus, isn't it? I want to make that a little more personal. It's all of us without Jesus. It's me without Jesus. Right? The wicked, it says, are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. Anyone seen that the ocean during a storm? The waves get big. What also happens with the waves? You ever notice? The waters get all muddy and cloudy. Storm's coming. The wicked, it says, are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Verse 21 says, there is no peace, my God, to the wicked. When Isaiah gives us this imagery, I love the Bible. It creates so many mind pictures. Isaiah gives us imagery of us without Christ being the wicked, being the sea. And it's the sea in a storm, and the wave comes in and it crashes, right? And then what happens to it? You ever seen a wave crash and stay there? What happens next? The wave retreats all the way back to where it started. And pretty soon, what does it do? the ocean is like this cycle. In, out, up, down, back, forth. And that's sort of us when we're dealing with an unconverted heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? One day I'm happy. Something went my way. The next day, I'm down, up and down, back and forth, in and out, just like the ocean. Emotions unstable. What can I do about it? God wants to do something about the tempestuous seas of our hearts. When we give our hearts to Him, He creates in us inner strength and consistency. It doesn't always happen overnight. Habits are hard to change. But we can become consistent in our religious experience. You don't have to be beat about by your emotions. You don't have to be depressed and jubilant like a yo-yo at everyone else's mercy. No. God wants us to prosper and be in health. If the wicked are like the angry sea, the righteous are like the sea of glass. Amen? That's our goal. Our goal is to be consistent because feelings don't control us. Faith does. There are some times when I feel like the whole world is crashing to an end. Maybe I'm the only one. Sometimes feels like everything's going wrong and everything's broken and all my quizzes I'm failing and everything's just bad. You ever feel that way? If I want to have a consistent life, I have to say, Lord, help me, even when I feel that way, to live by faith. Because faith reaches through the feelings and grasps hold of divine power. The wicked are like an angry sea, but God wants to take those sins and that guilt away from us. You know, I don't suppose there's any other health principle. Maybe I should be careful. I really believe that when it comes to your physical health, this eighth health law is the most important. You can at times miss sleep. You can at times not have good food, the best food or much food to eat. You can get away without drinking enough water. But at least in my own experience, I've observed that once my mind becomes distressed, whether it's through sin, wrong thinking, discouragement, depression, once my mind becomes stressed, my immune system follows. Have any of you noticed that connection? At first, I started thinking, you know, it's because I'm getting sick that I'm feeling discouraged. And sometimes that might be true, but I think it's also because you get discouraged, you get sick. So what are we going to do about it? Cast our cares upon Him. He cares for you. Come unto Him, especially when you're weary and heavy laden. Ask Him for rest then, not just on Sabbath, but spiritual rest then. Prioritize, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, right? And trust Him. Trust Him not just for tomorrow's quiz. Trust Him for 10 years from now. Where He wants you to be, He can put you. College, school is overrated. What college you go to isn't the most important thing. A college is just there to prepare you for your life work, right? For where God wants you to be. And so wherever God wants you to be, He can put you there, no matter what the course that He takes. It's His business, right? He's smarter than us. Prioritize. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And I really believe that if we thought those positive thoughts, if we were grateful more often, with a spirit of gratitude, with thanksgiving, presenting our requests to God, I really believe that we would have less sickness. It's my personal experience. Isaiah 57 describes the wicked as an angry sea. But I want us to close with Isaiah 58. Verse 5 will begin. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? To bow down his head as a bulrush? To spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and acceptable day of the Lord? Is that what God wants us to be? Just beaten down, sad, miserable people? Is that spirituality? Is not this, verse 6, the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke. What is he talking about? God's will for us, spiritually, mentally, socially, God's will for us, what he wants us to accomplish, is for us to reach out to people who are needy, right? If we would reach out and think about others more, we would think about who less? If we think about us less, we become less stressed by all the things that we have to do, right? Because the purpose for us being here is not so that we can do things for us. The purpose for us being here is so that we can do things for other people. And there's always opportunity. God can bless us. So the fast that he's chosen, he said, is to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free. Verse 7, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? Ooh. Now God's starting to come pretty close to home, isn't he? He didn't say take calf food to the hungry. He didn't say give your parents' food to the hungry. It's giving of what you have. You remember in Desire of Ages? Have you ever read? Most of you probably read the Desire of Ages if you've been in life and teachings class, right? Did Jesus sometimes feed people who were hungry? Where did he get the food? He went without. Sometimes I think, I'm going to step on toes since the Bible steps on toes. Is that okay? Sometimes I look at the rush for the meal line and the hoarding of anything that's good and the squeaking around the limits on the rarer foods or the more expensive foods. And I think, how many of us would go without a meal for somebody else? It probably wouldn't happen if we can't even have the courtesy to let someone go in front of us in line. You understand what I'm saying? Someone's already got it. I don't want everyone to stay back and say, no, I'm not going. Someone's got to go first. But sometimes our attitude, you understand? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the mind. It's our attitude. And our attitude is, I want me first, and I want a lot of it. And Bible says, is not this the fast I've chosen, to deal your bread to the hungry, that you bring the poor that are cast out of their house? When you see the naked, you cover them, and hide not yourself from thine own flesh. Verse 8, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward. Then thou shalt call, and the Lord will answer. And thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If they'll take away from thee the midst of thee the yoke, and from putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. And if thou draw thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and their darkness as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. That just means healthy, okay? Don't get scared. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Is that the experience you want? Contrast with me Isaiah 57 and Isaiah 58. The difference is one life is living trusting in God. The other is a life of sin. Trust in God may very well be the most important health law yet, but you can't separate it from the rest. Adventism teaches a holistic gospel, right? Healthy minds, healthy bodies, healthy bodies, healthy minds. That's what I want. I want to have less sickness. And I'm sure you do too. Let's pray. Father in heaven, too many times I've noticed that it's when I get angry or frustrated or stressed, discouraged, bitter, that I start feeling those symptoms. And Father, I just want to pray that you would take away any of those characteristics from our hearts tonight. Give us an attitude of gratitude. Give us the peace that passes all understanding. Help us to be willing to tell God everything, to tell you everything. And Lord, tonight I just want to pray that you would help us to keep our bodies in the best shape possible so that our minds can be in the best shape possible so that we can glorify you. Oh, Father, if there's someone here who's struggling under the guilt and the burden of sin, I just want to pray that they might give that sin, whatever it is, to you. They might realize that if we confess our sins, he is still faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, Lord, may no one have an ineffective immune system on this campus because of sin. Lord, I want to pray for those who are stressed. I want to pray that they might experience the joy of casting their cares upon you. I want to pray that they might know what it means to tell you everything, keeping nothing back, nothing that's not surrendered and on the altar, ready to be carried out or given up as you see fit. Lord, I want to pray for our obedience to the other seven health laws. Father, I believe there's too much sickness at OHA. And we know all sickness is a result of the violation of your law. And so we just want to pray that wherein it's our violations, that we would know it, that we would remedy it. We know we're fallen. We know we have immune systems. We know Adam's sin has brought disease upon our planet. But where possible, Lord, we want to be the healthiest we can be for your name's honor and glory. So I pray you to help us to get the exercise and the fresh air and to breathe deep and get some sunshine and drink plenty of water and sleep well at night so that our minds can be clear, so we won't have the stress, so that we can sleep better. And that cycle can be repeated over and over. Lord, make us more like Jesus, who was willing to give up of food. Perhaps if we fasted a few meals a week, it would help our bodies too. But help us to have that spiritual fast that you've chosen for us. To not be thinking about ourselves here at OHA, but to be thinking of how we can bless others. And then we'll see our light rising in obscurity, for you've promised. We thank this. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining the Ouachita Hills family for this special presentation. We pray you've been blessed. Ouachita Hills exists to prepare young and old alike for the second coming of Jesus Christ. In both the academy and college, we seek to follow God's inspired blueprint for last-day Adventist education and to train an army of young people to hasten His return. Ouachita Hills is a faith ministry and depends upon the gifts of God's people just like you. If you have been blessed by this programming, please consider how God might use you to further this work. Please contact us at Ouachita Hills Academy and College, P.O. Box 35, Amity, Arkansas, 71921. For more information or to download or order high-quality copies, please visit www.ouachitahills.org/store.